Amen. Appreciate that song. And I thank the Lord for that trio that's been singing. Praise the Lord. I've been singing that song a good bit lately. And we ought to think about that. We ought to think about what He's done. And if you're saved, you ought to think about where He's brought you from. You ought to think about where you could be tonight, where you ought to be tonight. Amen. And we all ought to be in hell tonight. Praise the Lord. And even if you're not saved tonight, it's the mercy of God, the grace of God that's got you on a pew in a Baptist church tonight. Amen. I mean, one more opportunity to hear the preached Word of God, to hear it one more time. Amen. I mean, what a Savior. What a Savior. Boy, He's been so good to us. And boy, He's just blessed us up one side and down the other. And well, when I look back on my life, I look back at where I ought to be. I look back at where most of the men in my family are tonight. Most of them are drunks and just all messed up in sin and the world. And the fact that the Lord will look on me and step in and intervene. Boy, it's just grace. What a Savior. What a Savior. Amen. I want to give you a thought tonight out of Ecclesiastes chapter 11. If you have your Bibles, be turning to Ecclesiastes chapter 11. And with the service in mind and with Kaylee in mind, Kaylee, I'm just going to be honest with you. I'm preaching right to you tonight. This message is for you. And it's for all of us. It's for everybody that's here. This is applicable to all of us. But Kaylee's graduating and she's transitioning somewhat into adulthood, I guess. And these are new days for her, new days ahead. And so I want to give you some thoughts with all that in mind and pray that the Lord will bless it and help it. Now, I'll be honest with you. Services like this, and by the way, when you find your place at Ecclesiastes 11, you can stand. We'll read in reverence to the Word of God, and we'll read the Word of God. We'll reverence the Word by standing when we read. But services like this, kind of special services, I always, I guess, stress about what to preach. I mean, you always want to have the mind of the Lord, always want to have the message, the right message at the right time, and obey the Lord and preach what He wants us to preach. I mean, that's the most important thing. And I'll be honest, I kind of stressed about what to preach tonight. And you always, as a pastor, as a preacher, you always want to say the right thing. In your mind, you think, you know, there's that one thing, that one message that you could preach, or that one thing that you could possibly say that would really grab somebody and really help and be a blessing to somebody. And then it's like the Lord just spoke to my heart and said, the truth is, there's really nothing in me. There's nothing I could say. There's no message I could preach. All I can do is just point you to Him. It's all about Him. He's the one that's going to change anything. He's the one that's going to make something out of any of us. Amen? It's going to be the Lord that does it. And so, I tell you, if we could just magnify the Lord, that's what's going to get the job done. Just magnify. Give Him the preeminence. Amen? And so, but I do want to give you some thoughts tonight out of Ecclesiastes. We're going to begin reading in chapter 11. I'm going to start reading in verse number 9 towards the end of chapter 11. And we'll actually finish out chapter 11 and read through chapter 12. And so bear with us tonight. I'm going to read several verses, but I want to read all these and then give you some thoughts out of these passages. Ecclesiastes 11, verse 9, it says, "Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth. And let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth. Walk in the ways of thine heart and in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. Therefore remove sorrow from thine heart, and put away evil from thy flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity." Chapter 12, verse 1. "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them, while the sun, or the light, or the moon, or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain, In the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble, and the strong men shall bow themselves, and the grinders cease because they are few, and those that look out of the windows be darkened, and the doors shall be shut in the streets, and when the sound of the grinding is low, and he shall rise up at the voice of the bird, and all the daughters of music shall be brought low. And also when they shall be afraid of that which is high, and fears shall be in the way, and the almond tree shall flourish, and the grasshopper shall be a burden, and desire shall fail, because man goeth to his long home, and the mourners go about the streets. Or ever the silver cord be loosed, or the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheel be broken at the cistern, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, all is vanity. And moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. Yea, he gave good heed, and sought out and set in order many proverbs. The preacher sought to find out acceptable words, and that which was written upright, even words of truth. The words of the wise are as goads and as nails fastened by the masters of assemblies, which are given from one shepherd. And further by these, my son, be admonished. Of making many books there is no end, and much study is a weariness of the flesh. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. He said in verse 12, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. I want to preach tonight and just give you a few, really just simple thoughts, really honestly, just simple thoughts out of these passages, out of these verses on things to remember in your youth. Things to remember in youth. Let's pray. Father, I come before your throne of grace tonight, and I thank you for allowing us to be in your house tonight. Thank you, Lord, for the blessing it is to be in church on Sunday night, Lord. And thank you for the Lord's Day. Lord, may we never get over the privilege and the honor it is to be in the house of God. Lord, all over the world tonight, Lord, Christians are being jailed and persecuted for their stand and for their belief and their faith. And tonight, while we've got it, we've still got freedom to come openly to the house of God. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us not to take for granted, Lord, the blessing it is to be here and, Lord, to live in a land that's free. And Lord, to be able to preach your word and to rally around the word of God and the things of God. I pray that you'd help us to take it seriously. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us to get all we can while we can. Help us to stand for you in these days and be what you want us to be. Lord, I lift up Kaylee to you tonight. Lord, I thank you for her. I thank you, Lord, that you've allowed her, Lord, to be raised in a church like this. Lord, I thank you that she's been under many, many weeks and many, many services of preaching. Lord, where she's heard the King James Bible preach and she's had people pray for her. And Lord, she's had, Lord, no doubt the Spirit of God move and work in her life. And Lord, I pray, Lord, that you'd help her not to take for granted the blessings that you've blessed her with in her life. Lord, I pray that she'd realize, Lord, the awesome privilege and awesome honor that she's had, Lord, to be raised up in an old-time fundamental Bible-believing Baptist church, Lord, that still stands for the things of God, is going the old-time way and stands for truth. Lord, I pray that you'd help her to be a woman of God in these days. I pray that you'd raise her up, help her, Lord, one of these days, Lord, to be the wife you'd have her to be and the mother you'd have her to be. Lord, I pray that you'd help her, Lord, to make up her mind in these days of her youth that she's going to go with God. Lord, come what may, I pray, Lord, she set her heart and her mind and her affections, Lord, to move forward by the grace of God for you. I pray that she'd get a hold of the Word of God and the things of God, and you'd hide them deep in her heart that she might not sin against you. Lord, there's so much potential sitting in this room tonight with all these young people, these young families. Lord, I pray that you'd bless us now. I pray that your Spirit would move across every heart, move across every pew. And Lord, that you would do a work here tonight. Lord, as the young preacher already prayed, I pray, Lord, for that lost soul that might be here tonight, that you would could put them under deep conviction. You'd show them their lost condition, the hell they're going to and the judgment they're under, that they might cry out to a Savior and be born again. Lord, I pray that You'd reveal to them the hope that they have in Jesus tonight. Lord, reveal to them the life more abundant that they can have. Lord, there's more to life, Lord, than the life they're living, that they'd cry out to Jesus and be saved tonight. Bless us now. May everything be done. Bring You honor and glory. We'll thank You for it. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it all. Amen and amen. Thank you. You may be seated. As we are looking here into the book of Ecclesiastes, there's a lot of things that we've read in this these passages and in these verses there. Very much typology, and there's a lot of pictures and things like that, and some of it can be kind of hard to understand, and I understand all that, but I just want to pick out a few things, lift out a few truths, and give them to you tonight. But one thing I want you to understand as we're reading these verses and preaching out of this passage is that this book, the book of Ecclesiastes, was written by a man by the name of Solomon. Solomon was the son of David, that is King David. And Solomon succeeded David on the throne of Israel. After David passed away, his son Solomon, who wrote Ecclesiastes, also the Song of Solomon, he took the throne after his father David. And Solomon is pretty well known as the wisest man that ever lived. God gave him the desire of his heart, and he asked for wisdom. God blessed him with divine, supernatural wisdom. And he had wisdom like no other man that's probably ever lived. God blessed him in such a special way with the wisdom that he has. And it's really believed a lot. I couldn't prove this, but a lot of men believe that the Song of Solomon was written at the early part of his life. Solomon was young, and he had a heart that burned for God, and he loved God and had great affections for God. And of course, the Song of Solomon is written. It's all pictures and typology of the love of a husband and a wife, and a picture of Christ in the church, you know, in a spiritual context and all those things. And it's widely believed that he wrote Song of Solomon early in life when he had a great affection for the Lord. And then he wrote Ecclesiastes later in life, towards the end of his life. And he's actually looking back throughout the book of Ecclesiastes and kind of pondering his life, looking back over all the things that he did, the things that he didn't do, the things that maybe he wished he'd have done, things he wished he hadn't done. And he's kind of looking over it all through his wisdom that God's blessed him with, and he's writing down just his thoughts and the things that God is giving him. Of course, we know this being Scripture was written under the inspiration of Almighty God. This isn't just the thoughts of Solomon. This is what God moved on the heart of Solomon to write. But he's just knowing the context. This is a wise man looking over his life and just evaluating his life. The thing about Solomon, the thing we must understand about him is that though he was the wisest man that ever lived, he did not take his own advice in the wisdom that he had. He wrote down much advice, and he gave much advice. All through the book of Ecclesiastes, he's giving advice, and he's giving truth, and giving wisdom, and imparting wisdom. Yet he did not take his own advice, and he did not apply that wisdom to his life. Solomon had many wives and ran with many women, and he lived did some really wicked things, actually, in his life. And he just did not take the wisdom that God had for him and gave it to him. And at the end of his life, he wound up looking at it all and he said, listen, vanity of vanities. He said, I've got riches and I'm the king of Israel and I've got all, and I've experienced all these things. I've gone and sowed my wild oats, so to speak. I've really gone and I've lived and I've experienced everything there is to experience out there. And I've got fortune and fame and popularity and wives and friends and money. And I've got everything the world has to offer, so to speak. But yet, at the end of my life, when I look back over it all and I see all that it's done for me, I just have to say, vanity of vanities. It's all empty. It's all meaningless. There's nothing in it all. It doesn't really mean anything. Amen. That's the man that is writing this. Now, it's interesting to note that that same man, Solomon, the wisest man who ever lived, that didn't even take his own advice, looked at his life and said, vanity of vanities. Even he agreed that youth is a time to rejoice. It is. He agreed with that. That's what he said in verse 9. Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth. So even he agreed that it's a time of rejoicing. Some would say, well, I don't know. I mean, why are we having a service to honor Kaylee and rejoice? Well, because this is a reason to rejoice. She's in her youth. And in a lot of ways, we know death is no respecter of persons. We know, but she were to live to be an old age. In one sense, she's kind of got her life ahead of her. And all of you young people, in one sense, have gotten your life ahead of you. You've got a lot of potential. You've got a lot of things that God can do with you and wants to do with you. And so it is. It's a reason to rejoice. You've got your energy and you've got your health and you've got your singleness right now. I know none of you are looking at that as a blessing, but I'm here to tell you it is a blessing right now in this season of life. It is a blessing. The best thing you could ever do in these days whenever you're single and you don't have all the responsibilities and the weight and the burden of a family to take care of, the best thing you could do is rejoice in the Lord and sell out and serve God and give God these days, because you'll look back and you'll say, man, I could have really done a lot more for God back then than what I really am even able to now, because my hands are kind of tied. That's the way it gets whenever you get responsibilities and a job and a family and all those things. So there are certainly reasons to rejoice. Even Solomon agreed with that. Amen. Life's energies are rising. The world seems so new and so bright. I mean, you're going to graduate and step out into a new phase in life, a new season in life. And the writer of Ecclesiastes, the man whose view under the sun, the Bible says, is that all is vanity and vexation of spirit, even he agrees that it's right to rejoice in youth. There's reasons to rejoice right now. But during youth's rejoicing, there are also very sober realities to be sure that you remember, Kaylee. And all you other young people and everybody else here tonight, even if you might be young and you might be old, but there are very sober realities of life that it would be very important to remember and take note of. And here's the truth of it all. If you'll heed the serious and sober things in life, you'll be able to rejoice all throughout the rest of your life. Matter of fact, Kaylee and all you other young people that are probably getting ready to graduate, some of you that are, lost people and carnal Christians are telling you that these are the best days of your life. But only a lost person or a very carnal person would tell you that. Because the truth is, if you live for Jesus, if you sell out and serve God all the days of your life, if you give your life wholly over to Him, these will actually be far from the greatest days of your life. You'll look back one of these days, if you'll serve God and you'll give your life to Him, He will do things with you and He will bless you and He will grow you and He will strengthen you and He will grow your faith and He'll do things in your life that you never thought possible, and you'll look back on these days and you'll say, I cannot believe I ever thought those would be the best days of my life. You will. You'll look back and you'll think that. I remember thinking that whenever I was a young person, getting ready to graduate. That's what everybody's telling you. They're saying, man, these are the best days of your life. You need to enjoy it. You need to enjoy these days. And you need to, you know, just really live and just enjoy it the best you can, because these are days you can never get back and are the best days of your life. And I agree that there are reasons to rejoice and reasons to enjoy these days, but they are also far from the best days of your life if you'll heed the serious, sober things and give your life to Jesus. Now, if you go out and live for the world, if you go out and sow your wild oats and you give your life over to the world and give your life over to sin, they will be the best days of your life, because it'll all be downhill after this. And if you don't believe me, go to the jail with us on Tuesday nights. Preach to some of those guys. Some of those guys that have been hooked on meth since they were 15 years old. Now they're in their 40s. And they've given, and I mean, with tears in their eyes, they tell me, Brother Jacob, I'd give anything to go back and change what I did back in those days. I'd give anything, Brother Jacob, to go back and have never taken that first step, never taken that first hit, never done it the first time. I'd give anything if I could go back, Brother Jacob. I tell you, I've had many of them tell me that, weeping and with tears in their eyes, how they'd give anything if they could go back and do it all different. See, those days were the best days of their life. They look where they are now. Now that they've lived for the world, given their life over the world, thrown their life away, and the devil's gotten a hold of their life and taken them for everything they're worth and drained them, and they're all used up, nothing good in them but just to throw their life away. And they look back and they say, those were the good days, those were the best days, and I wish I could go back and relive those days. But can I tell you tonight, I'm 32 years old, I'm still, I guess, young, and I've lived a little bit, and it's been several years since I graduated, and I thought those were the best days. Well, let me tell you something. As a 19-year-old boy, I got saved by the grace of God, and Jesus turned my life around, and He called me to preach and counted me faithful, putting me in the ministry. Amen? And I'm here to tell you right now, looking back on those days, they are far from the best days of my life. Amen? My life is getting gooder and gooder. Jesus is blessing me, and He's given me a good home and given me good children and given me a church to pastor and people that love me and friends all over the country. I tell you, God has been good to me. And if you'll sell out and serve God, the best days of your life are still to come. But you've got to heed the serious and sober things in life. You can't push them off and not think about them and refuse not to face them. Because if you don't heed them, if you choose to not face them, if you choose to push them off, you'll wind up bringing about pain and struggle in your life. You listening, Kaylee? I love you. That's why I'm telling you this. I want to give you about four things out of this passage to remember in your youth. First of all, Kaylee, remember God's judgment. These are sobering things, and these are serious things. But you need to remember God's judgment. Remember the judgment in everything you do, in every step that you take, in every move that you make, every decision that you make. Remember that there will come a time that you will stand before God and give an account for it in the judgment. Look at what he said in chapter 11, verse 9. Again, he said, rejoice, O young man, in thy youth. Let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart and in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that for all these things, God will bring thee into judgment. He said, rejoice in the days of your youth. Have a good time and enjoy these days. These are particularly blessed days. And enjoy the blessings of today. But always remember that there will come a day that God will bring everything you've done in these days into judgment. Look at what he said down in chapter 12, verse number 14, the very last verse. He said, for God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. God will bring everything that you do, every idle word, every idle thought, every action, whether it be done in the open and everybody knows it, or whether it be done in the dark corners of the night and you and God are the only one that knows it. One of these days it will be all brought out. It will be naked before God at the judgment seat, and you will have to give an account. And so think soberly and think seriously and remember the judgment in everything that you do. And if you'll remember the judgment, and if you'll live in light of the judgment, you will be greatly blessed of God. It will cause you to live more soberly and righteously in these days. It will cause you to seek holiness. It will cause you to hunger and thirst after righteousness. And if you'll hunger and thirst after righteousness, you will be filled. God will bless you. Amen? And so God will bring all of life and all of its activities into judgment one of these days. And the same is true for everybody here, young and old, rich and poor. Everybody sitting under the sound of my voice tonight, one of these days, will stand before God and give an account at the judgment. And you ought to think seriously and soberly about it. You ought to realize the truth of it. Don't push it off. Don't put it out of your mind. Don't pick up your cell phone and start surfing Facebook, because whether you think about it or not, it is going to happen. You may as well do something about it while you can. Amen. We all ought to be living in light of the judgment. Here, several months ago, me and Boozer were out. We were going to buy a lawnmower. We stopped by. We found this lawnmower online. And all we wanted was the motor off this thing. You know, we were working on another one. We getting the motor off this one, putting on another one, you know. Y'all didn't know I was that handy, but I am. And we went and we picking this mower, and this guy selling this mower over in Hatley. And we was picking this mower up, and we got to talking, and I had my t-shirt, I had my Jesus Saves t-shirt on, you know. And boy, if you ain't got one of those, you need to get you one. That starts a lot of good conversations. That opens up a lot of good doors, a lot of good witnessing opportunities, let me tell you. And he noticed that shirt, and like every religious person out there, you know, he struck up a conversation. The first thing I want to know, if I'd ever heard some, I don't know if it's a country song or contemporary Christian. I don't know what it was, but it was some song. He wanted to know if I'd ever heard it and how great it was. And I said, no, I've never heard that one. You know, anyways, that's what started off when we got to talking, you know. And he said, I've never been one of them Bible-toting, church-going fellas, you know. He said, but I'll tell you one thing. I believe in God. I believe in God now. I really do. I do. I'm a God-fearing man. He had what I call good old boy religion. There's a lot of that around here. There's a lot of this good old boy religion. They're not one of them Bible thumping, Bible toting, church going fellas. But oh, they love God and they believe God and they love Jesus. Like those abominable shirts I see out now that they say, I love Jesus but I cuss a little. That's good old boy religion. That's an abomination is what that is. That is an abomination. Amen. That's exactly right. It's the same thing with these churches talking about Jesus is my homeboy and all that stuff. That's an abomination. He's the great I am. He's the King of kings and Lord of lords. Amen. Amen. The world's trying to bring him down to a human level and make him one of these beer-drinking, back-slapping buddies. Amen. When he's far from that. He's the King of kings and Lord of lords. Amen. And all these God-haters and good old boys, one of these days, hey, whether they like it or not, that knee is going to hit the dirt and that tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen. Amen. That's going to happen. But he said, you know, I love God and all that, and I believe in God, you know. And I thought to myself, well, that's a blessing. That's good, you know. It's good to believe in God. That's what James said. He said, thou believest there is one God, thou doest well. That's good. I mean, that's a good step, moving in the right direction. It's good to believe that Jesus is God. It's good to believe there's one God. That's a good thing. But you know what he went on to say? He said, thou believest there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. Tell you something, if you're sitting here tonight and you're hanging on to believing in God as your means of getting you to heaven, that ain't going to cut it. And tell you something about Satan himself. He believes in God. He believes that Jesus is God. He believes that Jesus is virgin born. He believes that Jesus died on the cross. He believes that Jesus rose from the dead. He believes that he's sending back to heaven. He believes that Jesus is coming back one of these days. That devil believes all that. By the way, let me help you here. The devil, Satan himself, believes this King James Bible is the Word of God. He does. He believes this is the unadulterated, infallible, inerrant, perfectly preserved Word of God. Satan himself believes that with all of his heart. Why do you think he's working so hard to destroy it? Why do you think he's working so hard to muddy the waters and bring all this confusion? Because he knows this is the Bible, but is he going to heaven when he dies? Oh no. You can believe all that stuff and still go to hell. Satan believes all that stuff. He believes all that stuff. I'm simply saying that you better think very soberly. Think very seriously about the judgment. Be honest with yourself. Because what I was going to tell you earlier about that, Philip, he said, you know, I believe in one God. And then he went right into talking about all these heart attacks that he's had and all these things that he shouldn't have survived, you know. But somehow the good Lord brought him through it all. The man upstairs. Let me help you. If you say that, don't say that anymore. That's an abomination too. The man upstairs, the big Santa Claus in the sky, you know. The man upstairs, he pulled me through all this stuff. Let me just tell you. I don't care how many car wrecks, how many accidents, how many health problems, how many strokes, how many heart attacks, how much cancer God cures. None of that matters. Because the fact is, that's not a reason you're saved. It doesn't matter all the crazy situations that you should have died in that the Lord got you through. The fact is, Hebrews 9, it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. One of these days, that mercy is going to run out. That grace is going to run out. God has given you a space of grace. He's given you an opportunity to repent. He's given you an opportunity to run to Jesus in His mercy, in His grace, in His love, in His compassion. Jesus is calling and giving you an opportunity. Don't let the mercy run out. Because one of these days, there will be a judgment. Kaylee, live in light of the judgment. Remember God's judgment. Because every work, every secret thing, whether good or evil, according to the Bible, it's going to be judged. And God won't give an excuse because of youth and inexperience or because you're having fun in your younger days. He's not going to excuse all that. He's a holy God. Take it very seriously in these days. Remember God's judgment. Number two, I got to hurry. Remember your Creator, Kaylee. Don't just remember God's judgment. Remember your Creator. Verse 12, verse 1, He says, "Remember thou thy Creator in the days of thy youth." See, God has equipped you for these days. If He hadn't equipped you and if He didn't want you in these days, He'd have had you born in some other days. But He's got you ready and He's equipped you and gifted you and blessed you for these last days specifically that you are living in. His divine judgment, His divine wisdom placed you in these days. And there's great potential to bring God glory in the days of your youth in these days. We talk a lot about how bad things are and everybody's looking at the economy and how bad everything is. Listen, that doesn't shake God at all. That doesn't bother God at all. Where America is, where the economy, where the dollar is, who's president, that doesn't bother God at all. He's not worried about any of this stuff. And every one of us are here right on time. And Kaylee, God's got you here right on time and for you to stand in the gap and be a picture of holiness and a trophy of grace for His glory. And I tell you, if you'll give Him the days of your youth, if you'll remember your Creator and remember His aim and desires for you, God can use you in a great way in these days. These are days like no other days. Don't waste them. You're young, you're single, you're energetic. You have little responsibility right now. And by the way, having to wash your own clothes is not a lot of responsibility, just so you know. So you don't have that much responsibility. And so with all that in mind, obligate yourself to the Lord. Give these days wholly unto Him. And by the way, get some things settled in these days too. Make up your mind right now. You're never going to take a job where you got to work on Sunday. Make up your mind right now. You'll never not tithe. Amen. Make up your mind right now the kind of boy that you're not going to marry. And if a man don't check every box and line up, tell him to hit the road, man. Amen. Only get with a boy and consider a boy that carries a King James Bible. He's an old-time fundamental Bible-believing Baptist. Going the right way, going the right direction, living for God, faithful to church, faithful to things of God. Listen to me, Kaylee. If he won't be faithful to things of God, odds are he ain't going to be faithful to you one of these days. Get some things settled and grounded in your life right now. Get grounded in your devotion to the Lord. Get grounded in your walk with God. Read your Bible and pray. Listen, you're going to need to know how to pray in the days ahead. You're going to have times that will come. You're going to have dark days and valleys and difficult times. Man that's born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. Their trouble is coming. And you don't want to wait till the trouble is here to learn how to pray. Learn how to pray now. Learn how to get a hold of God now. Learn how to find God in His Word now. Get these things settled now in your youth. Remember your Creator in these days. And then number three, remember life's brevity in these days. Look in chapter 12, verse 1. I'm coming to a close. He says, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, While the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them, while the sun or the light or the moon or the stars be not darkened, or the clouds return after the rain, in the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble, and the strong men shall bow themselves, and the grinders cease because they are few, and those that look out of the windows be darkened, and the doors shall be shut in the streets when the sound of the grinding is low. And he shall rise up at the voice of the bird, and all the daughters of the music shall be brought low. And also when they shall be afraid of that which is high, and fears shall be in the way, and the almond tree shall flourish, and the grasshopper shall be a burden, and desire shall fail, because man goeth to his long home, and the mourners go about the streets, or ever the silver cord be loose, or the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto the God who gave it. Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, all is vanity. In one sense, Kaylee, you do kind of have your life ahead of you. You're young, you're single, you're healthy, but listen, don't you ever forget that death is no respecter of persons. I mean, in one respect, you do kind of have your life ahead, and you are planning. And by the way, you're wise to plan ahead. You'd be wise to plan ahead and pray. By the way, if I've asked you once, I've asked you 100 times. I don't ask you, what are you going to do? You know that. You need to be praying and think about, what does God want me to do with my life? All you young people, you don't need to be thinking about what you want to do, what career you want to have, what job you want to work. You don't need to be thinking about it. You'll make a wreck of your life, man. You'll make a big mess. If you lean on your own understanding, you'll make a mess of things. You need to be praying and seeking God. You need to be fasting and praying, God, what do you want out of my life? What do you want me to do, Lord? What do you want me to do? And you would be wise to do that. So from one aspect, you're planning ahead. You got your life ahead. Got a lot of potential. But on the other hand, you're not promised tomorrow. On the other hand, none of us are promised the end of this service. On the other hand, there's not a person here sitting here tonight that could see the light of tomorrow morning. I mean, just in the past year, with all the tragedies and all the things that have taken place, surely it's shown all of us how delicate life is. Surely it's shown all of us that when it's God's time for us to go, there's nothing that's going to stop it. And it could come at any time. It could come at any time. Me and Brother Ernest, we go out street preaching on the Friday afternoons, every Friday afternoon. We get talking out there, and this past Friday afternoon, we were talking about just how amazing it is. With all the advances of modern technology today, people are still dying today of things that they've died over for hundreds, even thousands of years. I mean, think about all the advances in modern technology, yet people are still dying of heart attacks every day. People still die of cancer every day. They ain't solved those problems yet. Still die of cancer, still die of heart attacks, they still die of aneurysms, they still die of unknown causes. Amen. Never even figure it out. And I tell you, there's men that have lived and died with more money than all of us will ever see in a lifetime, and they'd all give it all for one more minute of life, and they can't do it. They can't do it. I tell you what's amazing. Man has not solved the problem to it's appointed unto man once to die. They ain't solved that problem yet. Man's going to die no matter what. I don't care how much they advance medical technology. Man, you're all going to die. But I tell you something else. Man still ain't solved the problem of how long man lives. You go online right now. Don't do it right now. I'm preaching. Do it later. Do it after service when I'm done. Get on your phone and Google the average lifespan of a human. You know what it is? It's right about between 80 and 84 years old. You know what the Bible said? It said, by reason of strength, man would live about 80 years. That's what the Bible said. 3 score and 10, or by reason of strength, 4 score is the lifespan of man. And all the advances and all the technology and all the genius of our day, and they still have not solved God's riddle yet. They still haven't overcome God's Word yet. Amen. I'm here to tell you, you and me, we're not going to be the ones to overcome it either. Amen. When it's our time to go, we're going to go, and nothing's going to stop it. And it might be coronavirus, or it might be cancer, or it might be a tornado, or it might be an earthquake, or it might be a car wreck, or it might be an asteroid falling out of the sky, or it might be someone shooting yours. I mean, it could be anything. I'm just simply telling you, we need to all realize, and Kaylee, you need to realize, that life is delicate, and you're not promised tomorrow, and you don't promise next week, and you're not promised next year. And so if you're going to do anything for God, start right now. By the way, think about this. Even if you do live into an old age, in youth right now, old age and death seems so far off and unthinkable. You can't even wrap your minds around it right now. But I'm here to tell you, it will come. My wife will tell you that sometimes when I start thinking about how fast my boys are growing up, I tell her all the time, I'm going to be old and in a nursing home here pretty soon. Life is going by so fast, Brother Ernest. It wasn't that long ago you were my age. I know you can. You can remember everything. Life goes by fast. And as they always say, Brother Johnny, it's like a roll of toilet paper. The closer you get to the end, the faster it goes. The truth is, though, that you can't even think about that old age and death, all those things, but it will come. It will come. And if you're going to do anything for God, you better start now. Start today. Listen, he shows us right here in this passage some pictures of things that will happen in old age. He shows us that that in old age, our eyes grow dim in chapter 12, verse 2. He shows us that our hands begin to tremble in verse 3. He shows you that your teeth are going to fall out in verse 3. Amen. He tells us that our hearing fails in verse 4, that fears multiply in verse 5, death approaches in verse 6 and verse 7. All those things are going to come and they're going to happen. Amen. Remember, this will happen to you and sooner than you think. And if you don't give these days to God, all is vanity. All is vanity. Last of all, very quickly, remember God's commandments. In chapter 12, verse 9 through 13, he begins talking about the commandments of God and the wisdom of God and the wisdom of men that have been put in books. And tell you, all through time, wise men have searched for truth and wisdom, and they've held it precious. And writers have written it down in many books. He talks about that in verse 10 and through 12, how the writers have written it down in many books. And by the way, you ought to pay attention to it. You ought to read good books, and you ought to get all the wisdom you can. But the truth is that even with all the worldly wisdom you can get, the very essence of all truth is fearing God and keeping His commandments. It's not being a hearer only, but a doer of the Word. G. Campbell Morgan said, "This is the whole of man, to fear God and keep His commandments." Now, the evidence of reverential fear of God is in keeping His commandments. If you really fear God, if you really love Jesus, if you really respect God, you will keep His commandments. That is the evidence. Now you can say, we can all say whatever we want. We can say we believe whatever we want to say we believe. But what we do is actually what we believe. Everything else is just religious nonsense. What you do and how you live is really what you believe. The highest wisdom there is, gaining the highest wisdom, fearing God, keeping His commandments, that is the only way to save your life from vanity, futility, frustration, and ruin. That's the only way, is to reach the highest wisdom. And the highest wisdom there is to fear God and keep His commandments. Now, in closing, I want to say this. Life, no matter how much worldly success there is, no matter how much worldly success you see, Kaylee, your life will be an empty shell if you don't remember these things. If you don't heed these things. And that goes for everybody else here. It goes for all you other young people here. Your life will be an empty shell. Vanity of vanities. Empty and meaningless if you don't heed these things. So yes, be happy, rejoice, have a good time. Enjoy these days. Enjoy the particular blessings of these days. But don't exclude remembering the sobering aspects of life. And if you'll remember them, if you'll heed them, if you'll sell out and serve God, even though these are days of rejoicing, they'll be far from the best days of your life. John chapter 10, verse 10, Jesus said this, "The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy," Kaylee. That's what the devil wants to do with you. That's what the world wants to do. That's what Hollywood wants to do. That's what all your lost so-called friends want to do. That's what that crowd out there wants to do. Now, they may approach you like they love you and make you think they love you, but I'm here to tell you, if they are lost without God and they're not leading you in the way of righteousness and they're not promoting the things of God in your life, I'll tell you what they want to do. They want to steal and to kill and destroy your life. They just assume you go to hell as anything else. That's what the world, the flesh, and the devil wants to do. But Jesus said this. He said, I'm come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. The abundant life is found in Jesus and Jesus alone. And I know you've made a profession of faith. You say you're saved. I hope you are. I hope it's real. I really do. And if it is, you got to keep on going with the Lord. If it's not, you need to get saved. But if it's real, if you're saved, you need to keep on serving God. You need to sell out and serve God, just like I preached this morning, being filled with the Spirit. That's one thing that most Christians never reach, the true filling of the Spirit. You need to get filled with the Spirit, serve God all the days of your life, and you'll never have a regret in your life. You'll never regret anything you do for Jesus. You'll regret many things you do for the world. You'll regret many bad carnal decisions. You'll regret many things you did outside the will of God, but you'll never regret anything you do for Jesus, because He is here to give you life more abundant. I want us to all stand to our feet. Brother Ernest is going to get us a song ready. And I tell you what I want to do tonight. Kaylee, I want you to make your way down here and I want you to kneel. Find your place on this altar down here. And Brother Ryan, I want you and Sister Miranda come and